We're holding on for phase on a day. It's a little past the middle of the Amud, the line begins with the Talpalim. Okay, so we learned from the Mishnah that an Eved Kanani can be bought with Kesef, Peshtar, or Chazaka, and then we just added, yesterday, we added a Braisa that settles the Chalifin. So, Omar Shmuel, Eved Kanani nicked him a Mashicha, and Eved Kanani is fifth way you can be trying an Eved Kanani, with Mashicha, same as the Talpalim. Kesad, how is that? Talk for your buyer, Floyd, if he grabbed a hold of him and brought him and brought the Eved to him, Knoi. Then he's kind of him, because that's Mashicha. But if he calls him and he walks over to him, he's not kind of him by that. Then it's not kind of him. You have to actually grab a hold of him. For reasons that we're going to talk about soon. Now this is different than an animal we're going to talk about now. Sure, by the way, asked an interesting question. How the flower can you be koina an Eved Kanani with Mashicha? We just learned yesterday that an Eved Kanani is compared to Karka. How can you be koina with Mashicha? How can you be koina an Eved Ivri with Mashicha? So he says a couple of answers, one of them being, okay, look, you can't be koina Karka with Mashicha because practically speaking, you can't be Moshechid, it's attached to the ground. Doesn't mean that Ren doesn't be so an Eved Ivri, an Eved Kanani. I mean, it is possible, it is physically possible to be Moshechim, therefore that does work. And done an after Mashiach, after it's called it. That's the point we're saying. An Eved Ivri, we didn't learn. There's not a pasuk that compares an Eved Ivri to Karka. There's a pasuk that compares an Eved Kanani to Karka. So therefore, practically speaking, you can't do Mashiach on Karka, it's attached to the ground. Were it possible, it would work. Oh, hello. So therefore, by an Eved, it does work. So, now first we have to figure out, then, again, our mission only mentioned three. We had a Braisa that mentioned a fourth one. Shmuel's coming up with a fifth one. Why wasn't it previously mentioned? So, Bishleim L'Tani Didan, I can understand, according to the Tana of our Mishnah, the reason why he didn't list it, because, as we said yesterday, Milta De'isib and Metalpulin L'Katani, he doesn't mention things that apply to Metalpulin as well. The less of Metalpalim Katani, he's only listing the things that do not apply to Metalpalim. Kesef, Shtar, and Chazaka don't apply to Metalpalim, because you're not Koina Kesef. When money exchanges hands, you haven't been yet Koina the Metalpalim. You have to do Meshicha or what have you, or Kinyan Chatzar or whatever.
So once you've given the money, the thing...
When you've given the money, the thing does not belong to you yet. The Gemara, we talk about it in many places in Shas. In particular, in Bava Metzia, in Perek HaZohav, there's a machlokas over there between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Is it that midaraisa, the exchange of money, does cause the kinyan, and the Rabbanan changed that for reasons that we talked? There were Nishifu Chetech of Aliyah. We talked about it briefly previously in Gittin. Or is it that even midaraisa, the kinyan kesef is no good? The midaraisa alone, you need Mashicha. It's a machlokas over there, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Anyway, the point is, so fine, our Tana is not mentioning Mashicha for the same reason that he didn't mention Chalifit, because those are things that equally well apply to Metalpulim. And he's only listing things that don't apply to Metalpulim. Ela Latana Bara Nisni Mashicha. According to the Tana of the Braisa, he listed Chalifin as well, so obviously he has no objection to listing things that apply to Metalpulim. Nisni Mashicha. In that case, according to Shmuel, he should also be mentioning Mashicha. The answer is Kikatani Milta Deisa Bain Bimakakuri Bain Bimotalpuli. Yes, but he's only the Tana of the Braisa only is listing things that apply to both Karka and to either Karka or Metalpuli. That apply to Karka as well as to Metalpuli, in other words. Kesef Shtara and Chazaka. Kesef Shtara and Chazaka apply only to Karka. Chalifin applies to both of them. So we're listing things that either apply to Karka as well as Metalpulin, or only Karka. Meshicha, the Metalpulin is the Karka, whereas Meshicha, the fact of the matter is, it only applies to Metalpulin, it doesn't apply to Karka. Okay, so the Pnei Yeshua is saying that, ain't done an Epsha Meshi Epsha, but the fact of the matter is that you can't do Meshicha with Karka. Therefore, like Katani, therefore the Braita doesn't mention it, but that doesn't prove that he doesn't hold it. Now, we said Ketzad, we said, how do you do Mashicha with an Eved? Talk by your Vayatle, we said he grabbed a hold of him, Uvayatle, and the Eved comes over to him, Knoi, then he's kind of him. But Kori Uvayatle, but if he called him, and he walks over, like Knoi, then he's not kind of him.
He has to call him and the Eved comes.
No, that was saying that doesn't work. If the new master, let's say, machlokes are trying to who it is that's doing the calling over here, but let's say for simplicity's sake we're talking about the new master,
right,
calls him, hey you, come here, and he walks over, that's not considered a kinyan.
It's kinyan when he calls and he goes?
No, it's kinyan when he grabs a hold of him and schleps him over. That's what we're saying. So the question is, why doesn't it work if he calls him over? Well, Tanya, we learn in a braisa, Kate said the Mesira, how are you koina an animal with Mesira, which we're going to learn later on in the next Mishnah, that a behemoth gasa, a large animal, can be acquired. One of the ways is the Mesira, where you hand it over. So how does that work? Ochas of a tlofa, suppose that you grab a hold of the animal by its hoof, or b'sayra, by its hair, for ukov shaleo, or by the saddle on it, b'shlif shaleo, or by the bundles of merchandise that are on it, b'prumia shavapia, or by the bit that's in its, the harness, the bit, whatever that's in its mouth, or b'zug shavatsavara, or you grab a hold of the bell that's around its neck. And all of those things, it doesn't have to be that you pull it with any of those things. It just means you grabbed a hold of that thing that's attached to it, or whatever. Kna, then he's koine. And the Braisa continues, Kate said the Meshicha, how are you koine an animal with Meshicha? Koine lo v'hiba, you call to it, and it walks over. Oshay kisha v'maka v'ratza l'fonim, or he hit it with a stick, and it ran in front of him, so it ran because of his koyach. Kivin sh'okra, yadverdago kna, as soon as it moves, even a hand and a foot, even though it hasn't yet moved from its place, but it moved one foreleg and one hind leg, kna, then he's koine. And, okay, Rav Asi v'amilo Rav Acha, Oymer Ajitala Chofana v'leikemasa. Okay, they say it doesn't work just moving a foreleg and a hind leg. It has to actually be that it moves from the, it has to walk its full length, meaning that it's not on the same piece of ground that it was before. Before the whole animal was here, now it has to be over here. There can't be any overlap. Only then is it claiming.
Which pasuk do we rely on?
These aren't, for the most part, these aren't matters of psukim, and we're going to talk about when we get to it, when we talk about it in the Gemara, but mostly it's, these are, we're going to talk, these, I mean, these various ways of kinyan, no, you don't have them in the pasuk for the most part. Either it's halacha moshe Sinai, or some of them is just a customary way of doing business. There's such a thing called kinyan satumta, actually. The Gemara refers to it in a few places, where if in a certain place people have a certain common way of doing kinyanim, then that works, and that's binding in such places as well. A classic example that they have nowadays is, in the diamond business, a deal is not a deal until they shake hands on it and say mazel bracha. No, in practice, that's the way diamond dealers work. Therefore, that can be considered a kinyan satumta. If Reuven says to Shimon, I'm going to sell you these diamonds, they have no money as exchange hands, no meshicha has been done, but they shook hands on it and said mazel bracha, that would be kinyan satumta. But here we're talking about the common kind of kinyanim that are generally. We'll talk about it then. I don't think there's psukim. I don't think there's psukim for it per se. For the most part, it probably is based on what was customary. It is halacha moshe mitzvah. I don't know. Anyway. Okay, so the point is that leaving aside that last machlokas about how far the animal has to walk for it to be mesira, we do see that just call it, never mind mesira, we're talking primarily about what it talked about earlier in the Braisa, about meshicha, or kated b'mesira, okay, whatever it said, but no, kated b'mesicha. We said, how do you do meshicha? The second part of the Braisa said that you call the animal and it comes over. So why should it be different than it with an eved? Why with an eved is that not meshicha? Amri, so the answer, the difference is behema adaita demora ozla. The difference is an animal goes based on the das of its owner. It has no das of its own, so therefore it walks over based on you call to it. Eved adaita denafshika ozla. An eved does have a das of his own. When he walks over, it's based on his own das. Yes, you called him, but he's now walking over is his own volition. Yeah, therefore that can't be considered a kinyan. Therefore, as opposed to when you grab a hold of him and schlep him over, that's not of his volition. Ravashi, Eved Kotin Kebehema Dummy. You should know then, Ravashi says, an Eved who's a child, who doesn't have das yet, he would be considered like a behema in that sense. So therefore, yes, if you call him and he comes over, then fine, that will be a valid kinyan.
Some children have
a das. So what age are we talking about? So the Yad Ramah says, we're talking about up until he reaches what we learned in Gittin as Oynes HaPa'otos. There's a certain age when a child is smart enough to understand the beginnings of business, right? The beginnings of buying and selling, anywhere between 6 and 10 years old, we learned then. But that would be when he at that point he has some level of da'at, and then he's not like a behemoth in this sense anymore. Let me say a da'at, but below that, we're talking below that age. Tanarabanan. Ketzed b'chazaka. How are you koneh an eved with chazaka, which was the third method in our Mishnah? Ketzed lo min olo. If you have the eved untie your shoes for him, for you. Holach chelav achav v'beit ha'melechot. Or he walked behind him to the bathhouse carrying his clothes. These are all, by the way, a lot of these things, by the way, are things that the Sifri, I think it is, mentioned that these are things you're not allowed to have an Eved Ivri do for you, precisely because of the kind of demeaning things that are meant for an Eved Kanani to do, therefore carry your clothes behind you to the bathhouse, for example. It's interesting, there's a few places in Shas, actually, where Rabbi Yochanan says about a Mishnah or a Braisa or whatever, that I have a very difficult time understanding it. He says, if anybody can explain it to me properly, I'll act to them like an Eved and carry his clothes behind him to the bathhouse.
What was the Mishnah?
There's one in Bat Mitzvah, for example, in Perek HaMafkid, where the two halves of the Mishnah seem to contradict each other, and it seems to be hard to find some way to reconcile them according to one Tana. There's a couple of others, I think. Anyway. Hifshita, or if he undressed him at the bathhouse, Hifchitza, he washed him, Sochai, he anointed him, Dirja, he scraped him, like they scrape their skin with a metal, or, you know, a scraper or whatever, yeah, to get off the dead skin. Hilbisha, he dresses him, and Eloi, he puts on his shoes, he bi, or he picks him up. You know, and all these things he's taught to him. There are Mephoshim, by the way, who learn that when we say over here, the Pashtos, Tanashi says that all these things are, for example, Hitzolei Minolei took off his shoes, is the Eved does it for the master, and the same thing with the rest of the things. There are some of them, the anointing him, the dressing him, or whatever, that there are some Rishonim who learn. I think the Rimi Gash says that actually it can also mean if the master does them for the slave, because that he's trying to dress him up to make him look nice. So obviously that means that he's going to now use him as a slave. And the Braisa continues, Omnav Shimon Loitei Chazaka G'dolah Me'Hagbah, Chazaka should not be any greater, any more effective than Hagbah, than lifting up. Shagbah Koneh B'chol Mokum. Because Hagbah, lifting up the object, is Koneh everywhere. My comma, what is Rav Shimon saying? That's what we're going to figure out. On the face of it, I mean, what did the Tanakhama say differently that Rav Shimon is pointing this out? Where are we? My comma, Omer Rabashi, it means like this. It means the Tanakhama is saying like this. If the Eved picked up the master, then the master is kind of him by that because he got some use out of him. He needed to be boosted up to get something off a high shelf, for example. The Eved did that. Therefore, now that's Chazaka to make him an Eved. But he'd be a rabbi loy, but if the master picks up the Eved like no, then the Tanakhama would say he was not kind of him. And on that, Reb Shimon lo tei chazaka gdolah me'hagbah, shagbah koneh b'chol makom. No, Reb Shimon says, after all, you find that always, whenever you koneh an object, you can always lift it up, and it's koneh. Certainly, then, hello, the eved picking up the master, the master picking up the eved should be no worse, for example, than a person picking up some grain or whatever that he bought. We'll talk about in a couple of blocks when we talk about the kinyanim of animals also, that you can be koneh an animal with hagbah as well, with lifting it up. Come on, there's the Vera Levin's here, come on, you know.
Huh?
No, he's okay. Yeah, he's English. Come on, no. So there is such a thing as Hagbah with animals, with any other metalpilin that you buy, so therefore, Rav Shimon argues the same thing should apply over here. Interesting, by the way, that Rambam paskins like Rav Shimon, which leads them to ask, why is he paskining like one Tana? And the one reason is that Ivet himself says it over there, actually, on the Rambam. It could be that Rambam is understanding that Rav Shimon is not necessarily disagreeing with the Chachamim. He's explaining, let's say, yeah. Now, the Gemara says, Hashtit amatik bihu l'rabbi knoi. Okay, based on, you're saying the logic that if the Eved picks up the master, he's koneh him, by that logic, elamayata shivcha knanis tikoneh bebiya, that you should be able to be koneh shivcha knanis by having relations with her. Which Rashi says, d'ha agbale, she's lifting him up, he's on top. Okay, there are other mephoshim who explain that's not the kind of hagbah we're talking about here. The Torah with the Rosh says maybe it would be a kind of chazaka, you're using her, okay, whatever. And we know that doesn't work. The answer is kikamin zenen of zemitzdal. Yes, but when we're talking about, for example, that lifting up works, it's one party, the master, is having hanah from it, and the eved is having tzar from lifting him up. In this case, there's mutual hana. That can't be considered a kinyan of chazaka. Chazaka implies that the other guy is doing it against his will, basically. Here, it's not against their will, necessarily. Shaloi kadaka ma'iko nema. Fine, if you're going to argue like that, what if it's via shaloi kadaka, which he doesn't have hana from it? Amar v'acha ba'adin, I mean acha. Well, man leimalon de lav hanoi for the tarayu. You know what? Actually, even with shaloi kadaka, who says that they don't have? Who says that both of them don't still have hana? Okay, the Gemara assumes, and the Giri Nashas, the Rav Akiva Eger references over here a couple of places in Shas where the Gemara takes it as a given that a woman does not have hana from via shaloi kadaka. But the Gemara is assuming over here. Okay, mainly it's tar, sure, but maybe there's a little bit of hana in it. But anyway, after all, the pasuk mentions by Arayas Mishkeveisha, the lyings of a woman, implying Tishak Pasuk Kedarka L'Shalei Kedarka. The Torah makes a hekesh that almost everywhere in Halacha, Bia Kedarka and Bia Shalei Kedarka have the same effect. Therefore, if Bia Kedarka were to work, then Bia Shalei Kedarka, or if Bia Shalei Kedarka would work, then Bia Kedarka would work as well. Mishkevei is plural, so therefore implying that there's two ways. Yeah. So therefore, once we establish that it doesn't work, and we know that it doesn't, to be over the shifra tzamis is also anyway. But even if you were over on the iser, it wouldn't work as a form of kinyan. Then it doesn't work whether kedaka or shalei kedaka. Yes. A yisrael is not allowed to have relations with the shifra.
What happened by Yaakov when they couldn't?
Shochinan, that's what we're talking about.
Yisrael couldn't have a husband and.
By the way, it's before Matan Torah, but anyway.
After Matan Torah didn't happen again.
Besides that, well, in all those cases, Sarah with Hagar, okay, it doesn't say that she freed her necessarily. She still continued to think of her as a slave, Yaakov with Bilhah and Zilpah, Rachel and Leah freed them first before they married them off. I mean, they were still thought of as shvachos because, like, they were secondary to Rachel and Leah, but in actuality, they were
not Tanya's.
Eved Kanani doesn't literally mean that he's descended from Canaan. An Eved Kanani is called that because the original concept of slavery comes from Oro Canaan Eved Avadim Yel Echa, the Noach curse. We're not strictly talking about a person descended from Canaan. A Goyish slave, in general, a slave descended from any of the Goyish nations who's had Mila, if he's a male, and Tevila, and L'Shem Avdur, is considered an Eved Kanani regardless what nationality they come from. You might call the case involving Avodim and involving Chazaka in them. Rabbi Yehuda Hindavar literally means the Indian. It can mean either the Indian or the Ethiopian. Rashi says Me'eretz Kushi, that he's from Ethiopia.
Lechora, it sounds very,
but you know what? I mean, when we say that Achashverosh ruled from Hoidu to Kush, you know, the Gemara meant from the Machlokas. Are Hoidu and Kush at opposite ends of the world, in which case Hoidu is India, Kush is definitely Ethiopia. Kush is Lechora, definitely Ethiopia. So then if Hoidu and Kush are opposite ends, that would mean one is India, one is Ethiopia, whereas the Gemara says, on the other hand, they could be two places close together. And the Pasuk is saying, as easy as it is to rule over Hoidu and Kush, that's how easily Achashverosh ruled over the whole known world. In which case, Hoidu might be someplace near Kush, someplace in Ethiopia also. According to that, I mean, he ruled as easily over 127 countries, as easily as you can rule over those two. Anyway, whatever. So Hindavar either means he was from India or means he was from Ethiopia. Either way. Yeah. Either way, Ger Sheim Lo Yoshin. He was a Ger who had no heirs. His old family, or Goyim, they're not considered related to him, Halacha. He didn't have any children. Cholash, he was sick. All Marzutra Lashiulabe. So Marzutra went to be Mavakasoila. Chazia de Takis Le Alma Tuva. He saw that he's very, 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 very sick. Literally, Takis Le Alma means the world is heavy for him, meaning that he's a Goysis, the Noita Lamus, he's near death. Amalel Abde, so he turns to Rabbi Yehuda's Eved. And he says to him, "Shloif li mesanoi, take off my shoes, v'amtinu lebeisa, and bring them to my house." He wants to be koina this eved with chazaka. So, what was the story with this eved? Ikad amri gadol hava. One version, when they told over the story later, is that this eved was a gadol. He was already an adult. And the reason why he needed to do this is zep pirush lemitzvah, zep pirush lechayim, because Rabbi Yehuda in Devar was going to be going away and passing away. Mazutra, therefore, wants to, he's going to take over from while he's living, meaning Rashi explains that if it were to be, if he hadn't been koined as Eved with Chazaka while Rabbi Yehuda in Devar was still alive, then as soon as he passed away, for one moment over there, the Eved had no master, then he would automatically go free. Mazutra didn't want that. Therefore, he had to do Chazaka on him while Rabbi Yehuda, the original master, is still alive. The Ikadam, when he's dying, but at least he's still alive, he's still breathing. Yeah.
So if he had said, no, it's going to be Mazutra Zeved.
That would be, then for sure there'd be no, then for sure there'd be no question about him.
Let's say you have that verbal...
Gibbish Shidmerak Suvan Bukhamasura. So maybe just the fact that he says it's a Shidmer, that might have been enough. But okay. Anyway. The Ikadamri Cotton Haba, another version is that this Eved was a cotton. And then Udaloika Abba Shol. And in that case, then what Mazutra had to do shows that he does not hold like Abba Shol. The Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, Ger Shemeth, the business of Yisrael on the Chasa, if a Ger dies without any heirs, and therefore Jews go and plunder and take over all of the Chasim, because it's all Hector, so anybody gets first come, first serve. V'hoyuban Avadim, and among these Nechasim there are Avadim, Ben Gerlim, Ben Kanim, whether adults or children, Konaratzim and B'nei Chodin, they were coined to themselves as free, because they... No, Ger Tzedek, we're talking about. Ger Tzedek.
You can come and just...
He's dead. He has no heirs, therefore everything that he had is Hector. If he made a will if he had a wife and she yarshim, that's different. I'm not talking about that. We're talking about in the case like Rabbi Yehuda Hinde Vav. Here, there's nobody else. Yeah. Therefore, it's Hefker. First come, first serve. Konu Asim Bnei Chodin.
Not only for an Eved.
But we're saying that. No. The reason it doesn't work for a born yid is a born yid always has heirs. We talked about this yesterday. He either has children or descendants, or he has brothers, or if not brothers, he has a father. If he doesn't have a father, he has a father's father, had descendants. You keep on going recursively up as far as you need to, and then down as far as you need to. You could find the closest relative is, 25th cousin, five times removed. It's still, if that's the closest one, then that's the closest one. And then there you are, puts it in Baba Basra. Nachum Mashmeshet Vaylachasat Ruben. You keep on going recursively back up all the way to Ruben, the progenitor of the Shevet, if you have to, in order to find a close relative, or whatever. But with a Ger, no. So anyway, Gerlim Ben Ketanim, whether these Avadim are adults or children, Konam Asman Bnei Chodin, then they're koinin themselves as free, because there's a point of time over there when they don't have a master. Abba Shol says no. Gerlim Konam Asman Bnei Chodin, it's true that the adult Avadim become Bnei Chodin, but Ketanim, Konam Aksik Ben Zohar, Behan Wez Ketanim, you don't need to. Anybody, the first one who's Maksik in them, is Zohar in them, because they don't have Das to be koinin themselves. Therefore, if Mazutra had to hurry and make sure that this Eved is his while Rabbi Yehuda Hindavar is still alive, if it's a cotton, then it would mean he doesn't hold like Abba Shol. Tosfos had a long discussion about all the pros and cons of this. Among other things, what do we need to say that? We could argue that, why he wanted to make sure to do Chazaka on this Eved while Rabbi Yehuda is alive. He doesn't want somebody else to get him first. Who says it's Dabta because he's afraid he's going to be koneh himself? So that, and Tosfos has a couple of other questions. Anyway, Tosfos ends up giving a couple of different possibilities. Number one is that we could be with the Girsa over here. What we have over here in the Gemara is the Loika Abba Shol. That he did this not in accordance with the opinion of Abba Shol. But Tosfos argues, in fact, the halacha is like Abba Shol, and that in fact is the accepted halacha. So therefore, that Ketanim Kol Amasik Ben Zohar Ben, whoever gets them first gets them, doesn't matter whether it was immediately or after some time, because they don't have any das to be kind to themselves. So therefore, what do we mean then that it was according to Abba Shol? What does it mean it was according to Abba Shol is that even Abba Shol would agree, practically speaking, you're better off doing it this way so somebody doesn't grab them first. But not that you have to. If you didn't, if nobody else was around, then yes, you could wait. Also, Tosfos gives a couple of other possibilities. That another possibility you could say is that that according to Abba Shol, given that he's saying Gerlim Konaratzim Bnei Chodin, that would apply even if somebody else was machzik in him while the Ger was still alive. Unless the Ger actually transferred ownership to him, doing Chazaka with a Gadol doesn't help, because as soon as the original master dies, okay, you did a Chazaka on him. So what? You did a Chazaka when the guy was still alive, when you didn't own him yet. That's our halakha, basically. So therefore, he would be kohen himself. Therefore, we would say that if he was a gadol, then we would say that this does not. Then we would say that it doesn't work. But if it was a katan, then we would say it works because again, he has no das to be kohen himself.
The only way to kind of gadol is say
if the guy actually, according to that way of looking at it, would only be actually if the guy actually gives him over to you, yeah.
By verbally.
Yeah, verbally, or maybe you need something more than verbally, yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Give him some kinyan, yeah. Mishnah said, "V'koneh esatz with the kesef." Although the Mishnah had said that an eved kanani, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah, how an eved kanani goes free. We said in the Mishnah, "V'kesef al yedei achedim or v'shtar al yedei atzmei divrei Rav Meir," that he can be koneh himself and go free with kesef through others or with a shtar through himself. That was what Rav Meir said. And the Chum said, "V'kesef on his own and with a shtar through others." So we have to figure out what all that means. What is Reb Meir saying? That he can only become free with kesef through others, but not on his own. The Maya
would be to get kesef for the
master and
free.
Well, we have to figure out what all this means. Wait. The Maya Skinim, what are we talking about? Elam Shalomi Daita, are we talking about that it's without the Eved Das? We're not talking about necessarily whether the Eved protests or not, but just. Is some third party going over to the master and offering him money for this Eved to go free without the Eved himself knowing about it, then what do we mean? Reb Meir can't be saying that. Mechti shmeinalei le Reb Meir de Omar. We hear elsewhere, we learned in Gittin, that Reb Meir said, choyvul Eved sheyetzi mikachas rabbi b'cheiros, that Reb Meir had said there that it's considered a detriment for an Eved to go free. Number one, because then, like this, after Bafkader Nichle, he says, an Eved would rather live a life of Hefker, where he's not chayiv in all the mitzvahs, where he can be with any he can have relations with any shivcha he wants.
Does that include him with money?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out, right? But, the context over there in Gittin is the question whether you can write a shtar to free an Eved, shalom yidaita, whether it requires the das of the Eved or not. Reb Meir had said not, because it's a choiv, ein chov in la'adam shalei b'fanav. And why is it a choiv? Because there's a few things. Number one, after Bafkader Nichale, because he's mutter in any shivcha. There's also the fact his master has to support him, as opposed to once he's freed, then he loses that. If he's a slave of a kohen and he gets free, he's not going to be able to eat truma anymore. So we know Reb Meir holds that, but Tanaina, and we learned over there, and we're going to learn later on in our Masechta, Zochin la'adam shalei b'fanav ein chov in la'el b'fanav, that you can create a schus for somebody not in his presence, but you can't create a chov for him not in his presence. So obviously we can't be talking about that we're talking without the das of the Eved, because then Reb Meir would never say that Acherim can do that without the Eved das. Ela p'shita midaita. So evidently we must be talking about that it's with the Eved knowledge. And then, v'haka mashmalon, so then what is Reb Meir saying? What does he mean that the kesef can only be accomplished through acherim, but not through, implying, but not through himself? The point of that is, Alma, which goes to show that Reb Meir holds, ein kinyan le'eved v'lo rabbi. An eved is not able to be koina anything without his master automatically acquiring it. The famous expression, mashakana eved kana rabbi, whatever a slave acquires, his master automatically acquires. Therefore, Reb Meir would argue, if the slave gets a hold of some money, automatically it becomes his master's. So he can't free himself based on that. Necessarily, it has to be, like the Mishnah says, al de'acherim through others giving his master money. But since we said, ein chav en adam shalei b'fanav, it still has to be with his knowledge and with his consent that should happen.
Why is it a chav for the Eved?
We just said. I just mentioned. I just mentioned a few reasons why it's a chayv for the Eved. Because he would like the hefkeros of being an Eved, where he's not chayv in all the mitzvahs, because he can have relations with any shivcha that he wants, because his master has to support him, because he can eat truma if his master is a kohen. So for all those, we learned in Gittin, we had a whole sugya about all the pros and cons of these various reasons, and therefore, so that's because of all those, for him to be free would be a chayv, Reb Meir says. Okay, well then, Ema Sefer, well, but look at the next part of the Mishnah, B'shtar Ayde Asmoy. Reb Meir says that he can be freed of the shtar on his own, implying Ayde Asmoy Ein Ayde Acherim Loi, only on his own, only he himself receiving the shtar, it sounds like, not through Acherim, not through a third party receiving the shtar. Well, she says, why not? Be'imi Daita, if it's with his das, Ayde Acherim Amai Loi, why shouldn't he be able to be freed by somebody else receiving a shtar shichru from the master on his behalf.
That's not a third.
Well, if it's with his das, it's with his das. That's what we're saying. So you might argue, okay, the mayor doesn't mean that a shtar has to be davka, the eved receives it. It could mean that either a third party can receive it, or also the eved can receive it. And the chiddush then would be the concept that his get and his yad come at the same time. As an eved, he doesn't have a yad, he doesn't have the ability to be koneh anything, because we just said whatever a slave acquires, his master acquires. Like this, the moment, the same instant when he's receiving the get is the same instant that itself creates the yad, and therefore he has the ability to receive the get, and that itself makes him free, which we're going to talk about later on. It's not so simple. Not everybody agrees to that. But let's assume that that's what the mayor wants to tell us in the Mishnah, that the chiddush is that he can receive it himself. There's no chiddush in a third party being able to receive it with his consent.
Yes.
There's the get shechriya. The problem with that is, we don't learn in a braisa like that. A braisa says that Rameya clearly says that he can only be freed with a shtar only by him himself receiving it, not by somebody else receiving it. So we're back to the question, why not? If it's just a matter of choiv, as long as he knows about it, then there's no choiv, as long as he consents to it, there's no choiv. There shouldn't be a problem. There shouldn't be a problem with Achirim receiving it, because then fine, they're receiving it on his behalf and he goes free. Same principle as they can give the money and he goes free. So Abaye says no. You know what we are talking about in the Mishnah? We are talking about that all of this, the Kesef or the Shtar, is happening Shalom Midaitai. So you're going to ask, then how is it that Kesef can work out against his will? Without his das, at least. Maybe not necessarily against his will per se, but at least not with his das. So what are you saying? Then how could it be that some third party gives kesef for him and he goes free if the mayor is arguing that it's a chayv for him? The shiny kesef is different in the case of money. Since kesef can be used to acquire him in the first place, bal kochei, namely what happens when he's first sold as an eved. He didn't consent to becoming an eved. Some person pays the risen master, or some previous person paid money for him, and he became an eved. Therefore, just as Kesef has the ability to make him an eved in the first place without his das, so it also has the ability to free him, to be machne him to himself also. But in general, a mayor would say ein chavin lavan shlevefanav, except in the case of Kesef. That's why he would be saying that when it comes to Kesef, you need achirim, you can't have him himself only because he can't acquire any money of his own as long as he's an eved. So it has to be through Yaldei Achayim. And that doesn't matter whether it's with his consent or not, because it's Kesef. When it comes to Shtar, it has to be Yaldei Atmai, meaning that he himself has to personally receive it, showing that he wants to, and he doesn't consider it a chayv. Okay, then the question is, Halchi Shtar Nami. In that case, why don't you say the same thing with a Shtar? Just as he becomes an Eved through a Shtar, so he should also go free through a Shtar, and they can both be Baal Kochay. He becomes an Eved, we said, b'kesef l'shtar v'chazaka. So a shtar also, he becomes an Eved against his will. Why don't you argue the same thing, that according to the mayor, he can become free with a shtar against his will? The answer is, a similar argument that we used earlier in the Masechta in connection with the shtar of Kedushin, hai shtar l'chud, b'hai shtar l'chud. Yes, but the difference is, it's two different types of shtars. One shtar says, so-and-so is becoming an Eved. The other one says, so-and-so is becoming free. So two different types of shtars.
That's what shtar.
One is a shtar of Abdus, and the other is a shtar of Cherus. Yeah. Okay, the question is, Hai Hachanami, Hai Kaspel Achod, fine. Two different bundles of money also. And the answer is, again, we use the same logic earlier on, Dafei, Kiva Miyuchadu. After all, it is all the same kind of coins. There's no noticeable difference between the money that's used to make him an Eved in the first place and the money that's used to free him from being an Eved. As opposed to the shtar, there's a visible, distinct difference between them. Therefore, you can't say, just can't say, because he becomes an Eved, Baal Korcha, through a shtar, therefore he should become a free Baal Korcha through a shtar, because two different types of shtaris. Rava says, here's a different way we can answer it. The difference is, Kesef, Kabbalah Shrabai, Gormaloi. When it comes to Kesef, how does he become an Eved? How does he become an Eved by his master receiving it? Shtar, Kabbalah Sachayim, Gormaloi. Whereas when it comes to a shtar, when it comes to a shtar, it's someone else receiving it that makes him become no longer an Eved. And again, in Chavon Ladam, Shalom Shalom Befonov.
The shtar, who is someone else?
the shtar, we're saying, that's what we're saying. If the shtar was received by somebody else, then it would be shalom midayit. Then it wouldn't necessarily be midayit, and therefore in chav and lanu shalom one. That is why Rav Meir is saying that the shtar has to be received by him himself. Whereas the kesef, it doesn't matter whether it was his das or not. That's what he says, al dechirim, because the kesef anyway, he's not the one receiving it. The master is the one receiving it.
And the reason why we make this difference between shtar and kesef.
Is because what we're saying. So Rashi explains. Look at the Rashi Kesef Kabbalah Rabbi about the middle of the Omer. Shemakabel Rabbi Kesef. The fact that his master receives the money, Gomer Loy Lishtachem Eila. That makes it that automatically he becomes free. They nacherim al lochovim. It's not that these people are creating a chov for him. El Kabbalah Rab. What they're doing is they're giving money to the master. Val Rab ain't not the shluchoy. The master is not becoming the shliach of the Eved. El Lutzarach Atzmi, he's receiving it for himself. Umaknehu Me'elav, the master, voluntarily, is making the Eved free, which he has the ability to do since the Eved belongs to him. But freedom with the shtar, kabbalas achirim gormaloi, it's someone else receiving it that actually causes it. There's no monetary benefit that's happening over here to the master. He himself is giving a shtar to somebody else. The kivin dechoyv, so all there is the creation of a choyv. The kivin dechoyv uloi, and chavad nodim shalem edajah. That's the difference.
There's nothing to say in this.
Yeah. Well, no, therefore, in the case of a shtar, the Eved does have something to say. That's what we're saying. If there's no das, if they're according to the mayor that you need the Eved das to be free, then in the case of a shtar, you need that. In the case of kesef, you don't. Then we said, the Chum said the other way around, that kesef happens through himself and shtar happens through others. So let's figure that out again. What do you mean? Only if the Eved himself gives kesef to the master does he go free, but not if somebody else does? Am I? Why not? And he now made the shalemi daito. Okay. So if other people give it, okay, it's against his das. So what? Mechti shmeinu l'rabbanan. We hear in that same sugya in Gittin, we find Rabbanan saying, they say, on the contrary, it's a schus for the Eved to go free.
Just
the opposite. Because they argue the fact that he's mutter in a shifcha, okay, but he's also in a bas yisrael. Now he ends up being mutter in a bas yisrael. The fact that his master has to support him, not a big deal, because technically he doesn't have an absolute obligation to support him anyway. He's entitled to say, we learned in Gittin, he's entitled to say, you go beg for your parnasa. Jewish people have a mitzvah to support the avadim among them. So therefore, it's not like he's necessarily losing anything from going free. As far as Truma with the Kohen, the Kohen could have anyway sold him to a Yisrael and in any way lose that ability to eat Truma. So therefore, you can say that it is a schus. And he's free. He's no longer having to work for. Yeah, he's chayiv mitzvah. The fact that he's chayiv mitzvah also. Rav Meir took the view of the best kedushin. So that he feels better without having to do all the mitzvahs. The Chum argued the other way around. It's a schus that he gets to do all the mitzvahs.
Supported by the
That's what we said. The Gemara mentions over there that a person does not have an absolute obligation to support his avodim. If he wants to say, I'm not going to support you, any zonach, and yet you have to work for me, he's entitled. Because we said over there, we learned over there in Gittin, the reason why, first of all, there is a mitzvah to support avodim as well. Second of all, it's not going to be...
When
they're still avodim.
No,
to give them tzedakah. Yeah. Same way as you have a mitzvah to give tzedakah to regular Jews, also to avodim, if they are chayim. Also, the reason is, because anyway, it's not going to be a stable, long-term thing anyway. Fact of the matter is, a person who treats his avodim that way, they're soon going to take off for better pastures. So no sensible person is going to do this anyway. If a person wants to be nonsensical like that, okay, look, you know what, the Chachamim are not responsible for a person who wants to dafka, you know, go and be mad at his own money. Pretty soon these avodim will run away and then want nothing to do with them anyway. Yeah. Anyway. V'tanena, and we learn that Zachem Adam Shalei B'fanav Ein Chav Lai B'fanav. So it's a schus for him, hello. It should be able to be done Shalei B'fanav. So why does the Chachamim have a problem with anybody else giving the kesef for him? So you might argue, like we tried to argue according to the mayor, in your mayor's opinion, that Ayde Atzmei means even Ayde Atzmei. And in that case, what we would be trying to establish over here is that according to the Chachamim in the Mishnah, that unlike Rav Meir, who says there's no possibility of an Eved ever having any property of his own, the Chachamim would say there is that ability. That ability does exist. He is able to do a pinyon without his master, so therefore the chiddush would be that somebody else can give money for him. That there's no chiddush in. That he himself is able to earn some money and use it for his freedom. That would be the chiddush. Well, Ihochi Ema Sefer, but look at the next part of the Mishnah. B'shtar Aydei Cherim, B'loy Aydei Atmei. It's the Mishnah that said that a shtar has to be done through a third party, implying, but not through him. Now, why not? We know, as we said before, that his get and his yad, his ability to receive a kinyan, happen at the same time.
But maybe it's just for the get.
No, well, that's what we're talking about. Shtar is a get. A get is a generic word for a shtar. So therefore, so why shouldn't he be able to receive the shtar himself? So, okay, you're going to argue then. And the safe also, when it comes to the shtar, when the Chachamim say that it can happen through others, means also through others. And in that case, the chiddush, what the Chachamim are trying to inform us then, is you should know it is considered a zchus for him. Therefore, some third party can receive that shtar even without his knowledge, and it works. Unlike Reb Meir, who said that it's a chayv. Well, Ihochi, if you're going to say that, so what are we coming up with so far? What we're arguing is that when the Chachamim said the kesef ayde atzmai means that another person can give the kesef no chiddush. The chiddush is even he can give the kesef, and with a shtar that he himself can receive the shtar no chiddush, that somebody else can receive it. That's a chiddush, but nevertheless it works. So it comes out either one can be through himself or through others. Then just combine them all together and just say the kesef or shtar bein ayde'achid and bein ayde'atzmai. Instead of splitting it up and saying one ayde'achid and one ayde'atzmai, just say that both of them apply equally well. Yeah. Ella, no. So what we have to understand is the kesef bein ayde'achid and bein ayde'atzmai. What the Mishnah would mean
it's
to say,
not together.
Since it's not together, it means evidently that something applies to one and not to the other. So far, based on the logic that we were saying so far, it seems there's no reason to distinguish. There's no reason why kesef should only work with him and not with somebody else. And there's no reason why shtar should only work with somebody else and not with him. Hell no. What we mean is like this. The kesef, bein ayde achid and bein ayde atzmai. You're right. Kesef can work either through somebody else or him himself. The chum hold that an eved has the ability to be koina on his own. Therefore, he has an ability to have kesef of his own. And therefore, the Mishnah would be saying he could do that, or a third party could be given the kesef. Again, whether with his das or not, because it doesn't matter. Incidentally, when we say over here without his das, Tosfos has a discussion, other Rishonim have a discussion. Are we talking about even if he protests? Or are we talking about just if he didn't say anything one way or the other? But yeah, that's another discussion. Yeah. Anyway. But the key thing is, the shtar would be davka ayde achirim v'loy ayde atzmai. That the Mishnah would be telling us that a shtar can only happen through achirim, not through the eved himself receiving it. Now, why not? Gitev yadid v'ayim techad. The reason is, Rav Shimon Elazar, because we would say that this part of the Mishnah is according to Rav Shimon Elazar. The Tanya is, we learn a braisa, Rav Shimon Elazar, ask a shtar ayde achirim v'loy ayde atzmai. Also, a shtar can only happen through achirim and not through himself, because he does not hold gitev yadid v'ayim techad. This that we assume that we took it as a gift. So he holds that it's not Boyin Kachad. He holds that when he receives that you have to have the ability to have a yad already before you receive the get. An Eved doesn't have that, because he's an Eved, he doesn't have a yad yet. So it has to be through others. Where then? When they have a yad to acquire it, then he goes free.
The halacha, by the way?
No, the halacha is good to be So b'sholosh machloikas v'davar. So actually, what we have then in here is a three-way machloikas. Namely, Rashi has a long explanation, and the Tosfos disagrees and has a different explanation of what exactly the three opinions are and how, or not so much what the three opinions are. That's fairly clear, but how we see them in the words of the Mishnah versus the words of the Braises. It's like this. Rashi says like this. Reb Meir would say that kesef has to be can be through achirim. Can't be on his own because he has no ability to have any kinyan of his own. Therefore, he has no money of his own. Necessarily, kesef has to be through others. Shtar has to have to be through himself because it's a choiv and ain't chavon ladim shalei b'fanav. That's Reb Meir. Reb Shimon ben Elazar would say that everything, kesef or shtar, has to be through achirim. It can't be ayde atzmai, because when it comes to kesef, he agrees that he has no ability to have kesef of his own. When it comes to shtar, though, he does not hold the gitiv yadiv bein kachad, so therefore necessarily it has to be through somebody else. There's no das, doesn't matter. Now he holds like a chachamim, that it's a schus rather than a chayv. And then you have the Chachamim. They say Kesef, as we just said, Kesef can be either through Acherim or others. It can be through Acherim because they don't care that they're about it being a Chayv. It's not a Chayv, it's a Chos. It can be either Atmos because he has the ability to have money of his own. Now here's the key thing. Rashi learns that according to the Chachamim, actually, either Kesef or Shtar could be Ayde Acherim or Ayde Atmai. As far as what the Gemara had asked, so why isn't the Mishnah just combining together? Rashi says because the last part of the Mishnah actually, when it says Kesef Ayde when it says the Chachamim and the Kesef Ayde Atmai, the Shtar Ayde Acherim, that is actually a combination of the opinion of the Chachamim and Rabbi Shimon Elazar. That's when we say. Strictly according to the Chachamim, both of them would be according to the actual Chachamim, both of them would work Ayde Acherim or Ayde Atmai. But according to Rav Shimon Elazar, Shtar has to be both Kesef and Shtar have to be Ayde Acherim. Therefore, when the Mishnah says the Chachamim Rambam, the Kesef Ayde Atzmai, the Shtar Ayde Acherim, that's actually a combination of the two different opinions. The Kesef Ayde Atzmai is according to the Chachamim. The Shtar Ayde Acherim is according to Rav Shimon Elazar. That's how Rashi learns. Tosfos and a number of other Rishonim have a problem with that, among other things, why we're splitting it up like that. So therefore, they learn differently that the Mishnah is only giving us the opinion of the Chachamim, but nevertheless, by implication, you can derive from it that there exists a third opinion as well, and the Braisa spells out what that opinion is, the opinion of Rav Shimon Elazar. Okay. Omer Rabba, my time of Rav Shimon Elazar. Okay, now what taka is Rav Shimon Elazar's reason? Why doesn't he hold Gittu V'yadei Bar Kachad? On the face of it, it seems very logical. As soon as he's receiving the get and the yad comes at the same time, because Gomer Loch Meisha, he learned the famous Zera Shava that we had throughout Gittin, that the dinim of the of the freeing of avodim are derived from the dinim of a get. By Zera Shava Loch by a get it says the chos of Loch Sefer Krisus. By an eved it's a chuf shalonit and Loch. So we learned a number of dinim are the same. After we written the Shema, you have to say before and after, and we had a bunch of dinim are the same. So no, ma isha ad sheyotzi get lo rishus sheinu shalai. Now with an isha, how does a get take effect when the get goes out into a rishus which is not his? I mean, the isha who goof doesn't belong to her husband. Therefore, when the get comes into her hand, there's no gita v'yada v'yin kachar. She had a yad already beforehand. Now she's receiving the get in that yad. But for example, we learned in Gittin that if he were to put the get in his chotzer, it doesn't work. Eved nami ad sheyotzi get the rishus sheinu shalai. So the same thing by the eved. It has to be the get is placed into a rishus that is not his. Now the eved belongs to his master. If he just puts...
He said the isha has her own rishus.
The isha has her own rishus and eved does not. That's the key difference. Therefore, the eved... Ad sheyotzi get the rishus sheinu shalai. How does shichur of avodim work? It has to go into a rishus, which is not his. Namely, if he just puts it into the shtar into the eved's hand, the eved still belongs to him. That you have a catch-22 situation over here. You're trying to free him, but at this point he still belongs to you. So all you're doing is you place the get into your own rishus.
You have to
give it to a third party, which that third party is a rishus sheinu shalai, and then that way the eved goes free, and now he gains the ability to have a get.
That's according to
the Chachamim. And according to the Meir, Gittu V'yadei Bar Kachad, it does work. The very giving of the gift itself creates the yad. Yeah. Now, Rabbi's question is follows. Lidup Shem Ben Elazar. Evet Tnani Maoshi Yasa Shliach Latabo Gittin Yad Rabbi. Can an Evet Tnani... Okay, so up until now, we're talking about a third party receives the gift. We talk about the Eved's knowledge, without his knowledge or whatever, but not that he specifically appointed him for it. Some other person volunteered to do it on his own. According to Shimon Elazar, that the Eved does not yet have a yad to receive his get, can he make a shliach to receive his get? Miad Rabbi, from his, well, that's what we have to figure out. Well, let's see. Kivin Begomer Loch Meisha. On the one hand, you could argue he makes this Zeta Shava from the case of an Isha, therefore Keisha, therefore we should argue it's just like a woman. She's able to make a Shliach, as we learned in Gittin, she can make a Shliach Kabbalah.
She does the Yad.
That's the difference. Isha di'i motzim mekabel zedita Shliach nami motzim shavya. She's able to receive, she has the physical capability and the capability la'alocha to receive the get on her own, therefore she has the ability to make a Shliach as well. Eved, he will learn Makabal Gita, whereas according to Rav Shimon Elazar, the Eved himself cannot be Makabal the Gita. He doesn't have a yad. Shliach Nami, learn lots of Mishabi. Maybe he can't make a Shliach either. Okay, that was the question. Tosfos discusses it. Tosfos discusses it a little bit. We're talking about that. Are we talking about are we talking about, let's say, that he actually tells him go be makabel my get? What is it over here?
The
master, of course, can make a shliach. There's no question about that. Tosfos says that one way of explaining, there are a couple of ways of explaining it. One is that we're saying, if the Eved tells somebody else to receive the get, does that work? If he doesn't tell him and the other guy takes it voluntarily, sure, that works. That's, we said before, that
right.
But we're asking, maybe the Eved telling the person explicitly, you go and receive that my get, maybe that makes things worse. That's the argument we're making. Maybe if he hadn't told him anything, the guy went on his own and received it would be fine. But because you're telling him, receive my get, therefore that makes it no good.
And he tells him, I'm giving you a yad to receive the get.
And the Eved doesn't have a yad to
it's for not to give him.
As an Eved, he has no yad. The definition of an Eved is he has no yad.
He have a partial artus?
No, it can be a chetzi eved and chetzi ben chorin, but that's if the master, if we have them, that's different. We haven't gotten. We would talk about that in Gittin. We're not talking about that over here.
That can be good.
Yeah, well, then maybe I guess that's chedus of his, and I guess good. Anyway, that's one explanation. And then Tosfos says another one, that it could be that when, on the contrary, all we say that when Rav Shimon Elazar says it has to be done ayda chedim means that the eved has to make him a shliach. Or does it mean that and therefore, in other words, if he didn't make him a shliach, if he protests, I don't want to receive this get, then it wouldn't work. Or maybe not. Just like with an isha, you don't need her rotzon to receive a get. Maybe by him also, you don't need his rotzon.
For achirim, it doesn't necessarily have to be what he does. So maybe the same with a shliach.
Well, that's the argument over here. No, but there's a difference between not his das and oymir b'tzedeach, where he's protesting. With an isha, it doesn't matter whether she's protesting or not. So maybe with an eved, it doesn't matter. Yeah. Anyway, okay, after Rabbi asked the question, he then figured out the answer. After he asked the question, then he went back and was able to solve the answer. Yes, yes, that when we make this Zereshava, it means he is in this sense like an Isha. Yes, according to Rav Shimon Elazar, she's able, just as she's able to make a shliach, so is the Eved able to make a shliach. Yes, according to Rav Shimon Elazar, he himself can't receive the get on his own, but he can appoint the shliach to do it. Okay. So now the question is, the Ela Hoda Amar Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua, in that case, then what do you do with the statement of Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua? He said in a different context, we learned this in the Darim, we must say that the Kohenim are Shluchim of Hashem. We discussed in the Darim over there, the context over there was a Yisrael has made a neder, a Kohen has made a neder that a certain Yisrael is not allowed to have anah from him. Is he allowed to bring Korbanos on that Yisrael's behalf? If we say he's considered the Shliach of the Yisrael, then no. If we say he's considered the Shliach of the Eivishtet to bring the Korbanos, then yes, he is. Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua said that the Kohenim, we must say, are Shluchim of the Eivishter. Because if you're going to say that they're considered Shluchim of our own, how would it ever be possible that you could have something that we ourselves can't do, but our Shliach can do? A Yisrael can't bring Karbonus. You're going to say if a Kohen can, that means there's something that your Shliach can do and you can't. That doesn't make sense.
But even without going to the Kohen, what...
Wait, listen. V'ha Abda, now according to this, you could argue that, yes, you do have another example. The Yule Matsim Kabbal Giti or Shliach Matsim Shabi. You could argue, according to the Shimon Elazar, yes, you have another example of that. That an Eved himself cannot receive his own get, because he doesn't have a Yad, but he has the ability to create a Shliach. Shlichus is not necessarily Matam Yad. But anyway, that's whatever. The point is, he has the ability to create a Shliach. There's a custom, because law. Even if he has no yad. Yeah, that's what we're arguing. So therefore, Rav Huna B'Rei Rav Yeshua, what are you saying? You have no example in the Torah where someone can't do something himself, but a shliach can. According to this, you have such an example. So how is he proving anything? How is he proving anything in the case of a Kohen?
Well,
The answer is Velohi. However, it's not necessarily the same thing. You could schlug up that comparison, because the difference is Yisrael lo shayichim b'toras kavanas klal. Yisraelim are not b'chlal shayach to bring kavanas. The Torah excludes them and says it's only koyanim. Eved shayach b'gittin. Whereas an eved, yes, he has no yad, but he does have a shayichus to receiving a get. The concept of receiving a get does apply to him. Titania, as we learn in a braisa, nirin advarim sha'evin makabo git shachaver miyad rabbi shachaver. It seems logical, we looked at this in Gittin, that an Eved can receive a get for a fellow Eved from his fellow Eved's master. But not from his own master. The logic is, because if it's from his own master, if you have two Evadim that belong to one master and one Eved...
Friends, yes, he cannot receive it through
Listen, if you have one master owns two Evadim, and he wants to free one of them, You can't give the get to one of them to be koina on behalf of the other, because it's still in your rishus. The eved has no yad, but the eved of one master is able to receive a shliach from a different master to free that master's eved, because then it's not in your rishus anymore. It went into rishus shein shaloi. So therefore, we see from that an eved does have a certain shaychus to receiving a get. At least for, therefore, based on that, he has a certain ability to receive a get, even according to the Shimon Elazar, not for himself, maybe, because he doesn't think it's a yadav and kachod, but for somebody else. Therefore, he has the ability also to create a shliach. As opposed to, you can't necessarily prove from that to the case of the Kohenim, where we have no ability at all to ever offer korbanos, and therefore we can't. So, okay, Rabbi Shur is arguing then that we must say that the shluchim of the Eidishter are not ours.
Yeah.